welcome to another episode here at Supernatural Confessions Podcast, where it is a safe place for you to confess all your experiences, be it supernatural, myths, urban legends, superstitions, or even the unknowns. And as a team, we'll compile and feature your confessions on our platforms. You may reach out to us through our Facebook page or website. You just need to search supernaturalconfessions.com. And you are also invited to join us every Friday night on our Facebook Live, where Eugene, the founder of Supernatural Confessions, Sonia Corona, occasionally Joe Dakota, and I host a weekly live show discussing all about the supernatural. I'm Kim, your host for this podcast series, and now let's get on to the confessions.
Is anyone here?
What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
New week, new confession. First confession that we're going to get to this week comes from Vera Chai, entitled She Came Home With Me, and this is voiced by Joe.
She Came Home With Me by Vera Chai in Tarapong. I had just finished the graveyard shift at work and was sleeping when my phone rang. I answered and heard my youngest sister crying into the phone. In between sobs, she told me that my other sister had just passed away overseas. She explained that this sister had recently travelled to Hong Kong and was there for a short break, but she had suddenly collapsed at the departure check-in area and could not be revived. My mind went blank. How can that be? I got up, washed up, and rushed over to my aged parents' home. We made emergency arrangements, and soon my brother-in-law and I were flying over to Hong Kong on the next available flight. Before I left my room, Mom kept telling me that I needed to ask my sister's spirit to follow me home and pleaded with me not to leave her soul alone on foreign shores. We reached Hong Kong and were driven to the hotel. We checked in and soon got in touch with the embassy. It was a Sunday, so we couldn't do anything as the morgue was closed. We spent time reading the police statements. The statement detailed that her last words before she passed away were, "Help me, I'm dying, I can't breathe." My heart broke reading this. The next morning, staff from the embassy came to fetch us and drove us to the morgue. After doing lots of paperwork, answering questions from the pathologist, we were brought inside a room. It's not like in the movies where you can touch the deceased. We were in a room and they pushed my sister's body in for identification in the opposite room, which was separated by a large glass window. I asked the pathologist if we could go over to the other room, but he said no. I then requested he open the window, which he obliged. The body bag was unzipped to show the face. My brother-in-law broke down immediately. My sister's eyes were half closed and her mouth was opened as if gasping for air. For some reason, I started smelling a really bad smell. It was not overwhelming, but it was a distinct smell. I calmed myself down after crying for a while and spoke to my dearly departed sister. "Mei Mei, Coco is here to bring you home. You must follow me home. Everyone is waiting for you at home. Follow Coco home." After that, an autopsy was needed. Papers were signed, and we left the morgue. We then proceeded to the local undertaker for paperwork to bring her back. The bill we received was 8,000 Singapore dollars. Granted, this included embalming and a flight back to Singapore. It had to be done. After that, we went over to the airport police station, where we were interviewed by and spoke with the officer in charge to find out more details of her passing and the process associated with repatriating the body. We went back to the hotel after that, and my brother-in-law asked me about the bad smell. He inquired if I thought it was decomposition. I told him that was not possible, as they had put her body in a fridge, and that the smell we smelt could have been from another body, as there were many other bodies previously viewed in that room. That night I couldn't sleep. I thought about our growing up days and the times we spent together. as tears started to flow down my cheeks. I went to the toilet to weep. I didn't want to upset my brother-in-law. While there, the same smell came back to me, and it was very strong. I don't know how to describe that smell. It was not a pleasant smell, but still bearable. And it was that same distinct smell I had smelt in that viewing room. We decided to go back to Singapore first, as they needed to do the autopsy, and my sister's flight was arranged on some other day. We packed up, and as we left the room, I called out to her spirit and told her to follow me home. We checked in, and during boarding, I called out to her again to follow me. I did the same thing when we reached Changi Airport. One of the first things we wanted to do was smoke a cigarette, and we went to the smoking room. Now, anyone who has been to a smoking room will tell you that it is very congested. The tobacco smell is overwhelming in that small room, and the air circulation is quite bad. However, as I lit my cigarette, that distinct smell from the morgue came to me again. I paused and breathed in hard to confirm. Yes, it was that smell. I had a strange feeling that my sister was following me. With a tear in my eye, I told her that we were back in Singapore. If she knew her way back home, she should go ahead of us. If not, she could just follow us home. As I said that, that smell disappeared immediately, and I have not encountered it since. Her body returned back 2 days later, and we held the subsequent funeral. I was sleeping in my room after the wake, and I dreamt of her. She was beautiful and standing in front of me smiling, but she didn't say a word. Perhaps in her own way, through the silence of that dream world bridged by our love, I'd like to think that my dearly departed sister was saying goodbye for the final time.
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. If you have your own confessions to share, reach out to us on our Facebook or website, Supernatural Confessions. Remember, you are not alone. Saying final goodbye to any of our family members, it's never an easy task. Next confession comes from Sarah, and this is about her father that passed away. To both Sarah and Wira Choi, we hope your loved ones have found their eternal peace. And here is the confession from Sarah. I have only one encounter in my life. I've always wanted to share it, even though I don't want to talk about it in real life to my friends, since not everyone believes in the supernatural. My father passed away a few years ago due to health problems. It was a difficult goodbye. We arranged for a normal Buddhist funeral, and I'm the only child, which means that I have to do a lot of rituals or keeping watch on my own. Before my father passed away, he had always been using a special medicated oil every day. The smell was very unique, and I smelt it every day before he passed. He used it for his joint pains, headaches, and etc. I think I know what Sarah meant, because I do have family members who use this medicated oil every day. Not sure if anyone will know what I'm talking about, but at the funeral, I have to make sure that the big incense will be burning continuously. So amongst the grief, I did just that, making sure it was burning. I walked to it frequently and stood around it. On the first night of the funeral, I check and look at the incense many times. And comes this one time, I was just standing there and watching, I smelt the distinct medicated oil. At first, I thought it was the incense, but the smell separated in some way. I was the only one standing there. I was shocked because the smell was so strong and it was definitely very near me. I looked at the people that came to the funeral and no one reacted differently. Needless to say, I cried even harder because I knew it was him. It was my father. The smell was gone after a while. It didn't feel creepy at all. His death anniversary is coming up, and I will always remember this encounter because I was so sure he was there. I hope he knew how much I really loved him and how much I wish I could have been a better child. And to Sarah, I'm sure your father would know this.
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. Whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.
So I once downloaded an application that has a radar to show where the ghosts are around you and then give you a single word that the ghosts wanted to convey. I think there is only one application which has such a feature. You can just search it for yourself if you wanted to. I'm not providing the app name. At first, I didn't really believe it because the words that the application generated didn't make much sense to me. Until one incident that spooked me so much that I uninstalled the app immediately. I was at my office desk eating salad with popcorn chicken for lunch. Just for fun, I turned on the application, put it aside, and surfed the internet on my desktop while eating. Suddenly, the application generated an alert that said, "Sides." Salad and popcorn chicken are side dishes on menus. So I was a little shocked, but didn't think too much about it. I ignored it and continued eating. Then one of my colleagues came and asked me about something. After a short discussion, I told him I'll do it after lunch. So that would be around 2 p.m. when I can pass him the document. He agreed and went off for his own lunch. I continued eating and surfing the internet until another notification popped up on my phone. This time, the single word it generated was Albert. Now that is my colleague's name. My eyes turned to the office clock and then I saw it was almost 2 p.m. Walao eh! I uninstalled the app immediately and vowed never to download anything like that again.
That is a confession by Kelly and voiced by Sonia, which has something to do with the modern day's technology. So I went to dig for another story that has relation to modern day's technology. Here I found a confession by Sri Devi. Something odd happened last night. We have an Amazon Alexa display in our home and it's pretty much voice control. For those who aren't familiar with it, it's a touchscreen monitor but it has no default options to select when it's idling on home screen and the action has to be voice activated. My mother-in-law sometimes stay over and she sleeps in the living room. Last night she woke me up and told me Alexa was turned on and she couldn't get it to turn off. In my grogginess, I could hear that Alexa was playing some random video, something like a podcast or maybe a story of the day, really loud. I look at the time, it was 3:30 in the morning. This has never happened before in 3 years that we have had this system. I texted my husband who was at work and even he had no idea how that could have happened. Freak malfunction or something else? And reading into the comment section of Siri's post, I found another that commented by Jen. It happened to me as well. I just recently moved to the States on January and my husband got an Alexa as well. One night, I think 2 weeks ago, I chose to stay downstairs for a little bit, lying on the sofa. All lights are off except the dim lights from a Himalayan pink salt lamp. Beside me is where Alexa is located. Exactly midnight when Alexa started playing stuff and it's loud. I ask her to stop a few times but it just goes on. Instead, I switch off the main outlet and ran upstairs to my husband whom is half asleep. So ladies and gentlemen listening to this podcast, do you have an experience with such malfunction of an Alexa? What do you think? Is it really a malfunction or is it something else that turns Alexa on?
If you like the content here on the podcast, you are also invited to join Eugene and Kim at Supernatural Confessions Facebook page every Friday, 10 p.m. Malaysia and Singapore time, where they will discuss, dissect, and go deeper in details on your confession. And I'll be waiting for you there.
Okay, moving on from modern day technology, now we go to stories or confession from an angler. Next confession is by Vander Vaughn, and it is voiced by Eugene, entitled Chased by an Invisible Beast.
Chased by Invisible Beast, Vander Vaughn. Calling out to all anglers to share their stories too. I'm sharing mine. Whether it's scary or not, it's up to the individual lah, I guess. I hung out pretty much at the shores in Singapore, as I love shore fishing. East Coast Parkway, still one of the best catch for me. And I'm talking about East Coast Park back then, with the original McDonald's, the Big Splash, and there are parts of East Coast Park that was still covered in dense vegetation. I hung out at ECP, or East Coast Parkway, almost every week and rode my bike down since I was staying nearby. I was also one of the few that will explore new places in ECP to fish alone. I do agree with what some anglers will tell you. Some of the most productive areas with the best catch are also places that carries a heavy in energy. In energy is what is believed to be a very ominous energy. So, there was a day that I went alone to explore an area right after the National Sailing Club, where there's a big monsoon drain. Amongst anglers, we know it as Longkang Enam. Beyond that point, it's a place where you will not see a lot of people or anglers. For someone who hasn't really experienced any supernatural before then, I really couldn't be bothered about the hantu. I wasn't even thinking about it, since fishing was the only thing on my mind. Street lamps lit up the path, but there was no soul in sight for miles. And the cycling path actually looks quite scary at night, to be honest. So once I pick my sight, I have to move away from the cycling track into where the trees are to set up my equipment. And that's where there is absolutely no lights. The lights from the pathway do not even seep inside because of the dense trees. Now, while setting up, I glanced left and right. I was alone on this long stretch of beach. I couldn't see anyone in the dark. For your info, right at the beach, at this quiet stretch, it wasn't as bright as the beach down, say, at the Jumbo Seafood or the Bedok Jetty area, where most of the mainstream people actually hang out. Anglers like us, we usually wear a torch on our head, the type that we just strap on our forehead, and this will allow us to have free hands to tie our rigs and all. And the torch is the only thing that I have to light up the darkness. People who fish along this stretch can tell you how dark it is because of the trees that line the shores, blocking out all the light from the cycling path, or sometimes even the moonlight. And these are a mix of trees, mainly the tree that produces this kind of seed. It's brown, it's small, and looks like a mini durian. You know the ones I'm talking about, right? So my back was facing the sea, while my front faced the cluster of trees. While I was tying, I remember hearing a rustling amongst the trees nearest to me. It was a humid night, and breeze was really next to nothing at this time. So it couldn't be a breeze, right? And I was perspiring. If there was a breeze, I could have at least felt it on my skin. But there was nothing. And the sound, it sounded like something was hopping in between the branches. I got curious and I tilted my head to look at the direction where the rustling came from, hoping to see a macaque. But there was nothing. Nothing at all. So I carried on tying my rig, eager to cast out. As I said, I have never met a hantu before, and the idea of a hantu was not on my mind. So after I cast out, I sat there with my staff, and I was pretty near to all my fishing rod and all my barang-barang. But the next few minutes sitting there was a torture. You know, having those feelings that someone or something is watching you, but whenever you turn, there's nothing there. Now, for some unknown reason, my heart started to race and a sudden fear gripped me. I got tremendously uneasy with this heavy feeling in my heart.
My instincts told me to just get the F out of there. And again, right, because I'm not thinking about Hantu or anything, I just couldn't reconcile why this sudden fear is in me. Maybe it's my guardian angel, or maybe it's my subconscious just trying to protect me. But I packed up my stuff as fast as I could. I didn't even bother reeling in my line. I took a scissors, I cut the line, and I just hurriedly packed all my stuff, and I pushed my bicycle out to the path, where I felt safe, or rather, safer, once again, when there's light. So I have a mountain bike with an extension behind my seat to place heavier stuff. So I got on and pedaled as fast as I could, but not even 10 meters out of the place, I heard something pursuing me. The sound resembles that of a dog, you know, when the dogs run on hard ground and nails are too long and they make this clacking sound on the ground. So I knew there wasn't anything behind me because from my right mirror, right, I can look behind and there was nothing. But from the sound, it's not something that is small. You couldn't have missed it from the mirror. But I knew there was nothing behind me, okay? But yet at the same time, the sound was getting louder and louder, like it was just right behind me. So I pedaled so hard until my legs started to cramp. But who in the right mind would want to slow down back then, right? At that point in time. So pain or not, I just I pressed on. So after a while, I thought I put some distance between us from the sound and myself. But then, suddenly, I felt a heavy load on my bicycle. Almost as if something just hopped onto the back rest where all my tackle was. And so heavy that I began to slow down. When I look back this time, I don't know how to describe this feeling. With my eyes, I cannot see anything there. But yet, I know there was something or some abomination that has hopped onto my bike. And I can tell you at this time, literally my balls just shrank. I could only remember reciting some lines from Goddess of Mercy, and I said it out loud. I kept repeating and repeating and repeating. I got one hand on the handlebar and the other gripping onto the pendant of my Goddess of Mercy, reciting the verses as loud as I can, till I felt the bicycle eased up and I can pedal normally again. Wow, I rode like the wind all the way home, telling not a single soul about this. The whole night, of course, I couldn't sleep lah. Next day, first thing in the morning, I went to the Goddess of Mercy temple at Middle Road to pray and meditate just to calm my nerves. Luckily, I didn't have any fever later on, or nothing else happened that night or the week after, but I did notice that my pendant had a crack. Was Goddess of Mercy pendant trying to protect me from something?
Could it be something that wished to chase Vander off from where he was? But for me, I do not know why when I first read this story, hellhounds came to my head. What do you think? To continue, the next confession also comes from another angler. And this confession is written by Dwayne Abdullah. And it is written in our SC private group, It Must Be the Hantu, our Facebook page. If you do have confession that you wanted to tell, or you just love reading all these supernatural stories, go ahead and search in Facebook, SC Private Group, It Must Be the Hantu. So here is the confession by Dwayne. Back then, in the 80s, my uncle was a avid angler, and he owned a boat that parked somewhere in East Coast. This story would resonate among anglers. There is an unspoken understanding for anglers to stop fishing if you keep getting too many fishes in the same spot, because something might be luring you instead. My uncle was a strong swimmer, and he never bothered to follow any superstition, and he would generally be lucky, and would always come back with big fishes and also huge prawns, and often he would give them to us. One day while fishing, he was very lucky and kept getting hooked with those red emperor fishes, one after another, and was so engrossed with fishing that he didn't realize that he had caught way too many. Suddenly, his board overturned and he almost drowned. After he did not return home from his trip, his wife panicked and called us, and we went to the beach and called the police. Surprisingly, we found him wandering around the beach talking gibberish, and he looked somewhat
insane. We took him to the hospital where the doctor sedated him to calm him down, and my grandparents consulted somebody who knew these things. After taking a look at my uncle, he told us that he was at a spot where he belonged to a demon and he took too many of his herd of fishes, and that the demon wanted to claim his life as payment. He managed to escape to shore and got possessed. It took several months of treatment and it was never the same after he was cured. On and off, he seems to be distant and never really talked to people. He still went on to his fishing trips though after getting a new boat, but he avoided the area he nearly drowned at. Lesson to learn here is never be greedy and just take what you need.
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. If you have your own confessions to share, reach out to us on our Facebook or website, Supernatural Confessions. Remember, you are not alone.
Niu Tou Ma Mian, Ox Head and Horse Face, a confession shared by Lawrence Dunn. I was close to my grandma growing up. The 4 years I spent overseas studying, I would call her every week to chat. But when I got back and started to work, we barely spoke, as my work hours were ridiculously long. I would leave for work around 7:45 a.m. and get home by 11, near to midnight. We would only manage to say a few words in the morning, and I was off to work. One day, she got a stroke and was hospitalized. As the doctor said it was nothing serious, the entire family was relieved. I had visited her daily during my lunch breaks, and we did have a good chat, or rather, it was me telling her about my work and office. She would always listen intently and smile. About a few days later, the doctor told us my grandma could be discharged soon. One of my uncles is very sensitive and he would only visit grandma in the daytime and never at night. So when he heard the news, he heaved a sigh of relief. Another cousin later told us that grandma told her it was hard to sleep at night as there were dark figures in the room. Someone had given grandma a pair of long socks to wear at night to keep her feet warm. The night before she was to be discharged, sadly, grandmother passed away. We were called in the middle of the night to go to the hospital. We were told she tried to go to the bathroom unassisted and therefore slipped and fell as her socks were slippery on the ceramic floor. The entire family was in a state of shock. While we were waiting for the release of the body, my uncle just muttered that grandmother was pushed by something. All of us just kept very quiet, with some believing, and the others who didn't just kept a respectful silence. After her funeral, as Chinese, we believed that the spirit would return for a visit on the seventh day. That day, I returned from work at the usual time, which is 11 p.m. and my mum came downstairs to berate me for coming home late as it is the seventh day. She said something like, if we are awake and the lights are on, grandma would not be able to come and visit us. So I hurriedly showered and went to bed. That night, I had a dream. I dreamt I was sleeping in my room and there was a knock on my bedroom door. I said, come in, but no one opened the door to enter. Again, there was a soft knock on my door, so I went to answer. When I opened the door, I saw my grandma standing at the door, so I invited her in. I saw some shadows behind her, but didn't take much notice as I was glad to see my grandmother. We sat down for a chat. Somehow, in my dream, I was fully aware that she had passed on. So I asked, are you happy where you are now? Yes, I am. Don't worry about me, grandmother said smilingly. I realized she looked so much younger and radiant. She was 80 when she left us, but in the dream,
She looked about 40-ish. She was dressed in a white Peranakan kebaya with silver embroidery and a white and grey sarong with pretty floral patterns. I don't remember this kebaya set in her collection though. And Grandma was decked in diamond earrings, necklace, bracelets and ring. All these accessories, I was sure I've never seen it before. And Grandma was always very simple and very low profile when she was alive. She would dress up for wedding dinners and would at most wear earrings and her jade bangle. Nothing more. So this was the first time I saw my grandmother was so bling out. And it was too dazzling to see her clearly. Her hair was black and very carefully coiffed in marcel waves. Only short of a tiara, she would certainly look like a princess. Well, you know, I won't be around for long, so let's have a good chat. You must take care of yourself, Grandma said. We were chatting happily for a while, then I heard the cock crow. Okay, it is time for me to go. You must take care of yourself. Grandma, since I'm not going to see you again, why don't you hang out for a while and talk some more? Okay, let me ask them first, she said and immediately got up and walked to the door. She opened it a little and I saw a shadow standing outside. And before I could get a better look, the shape retreated into the shadows and Grandma quickly shut the door. Okay, I can stay for a while more, said my grandmother. So we chatted until the next cock crow. Then there was a knock on the door. I really have to go now. Please take care of yourself, said my grandmother softly. Grandma got up and opened the door carefully to make enough space for herself to get out. I wanted to say something to her, so I went to the door and pulled the door open, and what I saw standing outside astonished me. I saw very distinctly an ox head and horse head beings, with a man with pale face wearing a tall white head and has his long tongue sticking out. Upon seeing me, they quickly retreated into the shadows. I was surprised to see the characters from all those Chinese horror movies, and since I'm not a Buddhist, I didn't expect to see them. My grandma was a very devout Buddhist when she was alive, so perhaps that explains the presence of these beings. My grandma quickly turned around and pushed me back into the room and said, I really have to go. It is almost dawn, so I cannot stay any longer. Take care, and don't come out from your room. The gods cannot show themselves to the living. With those last words, she pulled the door shut. Next, I heard the sound of heavy chains being dragged. I shouted, Grandma, I love you. Take care. The sound of chains started becoming faint, and soon it stopped. The next thing I knew, I was waking up. At breakfast, I told my mom, and she said she too heard the sound of chains dragging and then the sound of keys. Then she said she heard my grandma's voice outside her bedroom door asking if she had seen a pair of earrings. Someone then told me that if I saw one particular tall head and long tongue man, it's good fortune. But no one can confirm if it's the white or the black one. As mentioned in the story by Lawrence Dunn, not only the ox head horse face or Niu Tou Ma Mian made an appearance, he by Wu Chang seemed to be described inside as well. But we're going to tell you more about he by Wu Chang in other episodes. This episode, I'm going to read to you the information on Wikipedia about ox head and horse face, which is the Niu Tou Ma Mian. Ox head and horse face are two guardians or types of guardians of the underworld in Chinese mythology. As indicated by the names, both have the bodies of men, but ox head has the head of an ox, while horse face has the face of a horse. They are the first beings a dead soul encounters upon entering the underworld. In many stories, they directly escort the newly dead to the underworld. For their role in their duties as guardians of hell, the realm of the dead, their role is to capture human souls who have reached the end of their earthly existence and bring them before the courts of hell. Souls are then rewarded or punished based on the actions performed in their lifetime. Oxhead and Horseface also play the role of messengers of the King of Hell, which is Yan Luo Wang. Oxhead has also been created by the latter, took pity by the arrival of newly dead ox, who had worked hard all his life. He met one of his faithful servants. Although there are a lot more other stories about their origins, writings about how they came about, this is the one that I found on Wikipedia. And that pretty much wraps up for this episode of Supernatural Confessions podcast.
We've come to the end of this episode of Supernatural Confessions. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate us with a 5-star review on whichever platform you are streaming this podcast on. Go on and tell your friends and family about us. You can find more of our content on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Search for keyword Supernatural Confessions. If you or someone you know have a confession to make, visit supernaturalconfessions.com. You can send it in text, voice memo, or even video format. Let us know if you want your identity to be kept secret. Supernatural Confessions is created by Eugene Tay. Until the next episode, my name is Kim, your host for this podcast series, signing off with, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.